Hello, and welcome to another exciting edition of Superstar Radio with your host, LaShawn Suber. She's a career counselor, motivational speaker, as well as life coach. So sit back, prepare to be entertained as well as informed. And without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, LaShawn Suber.
Hello and good morning, everyone, or good night, good evening. This is Brittany. I am the program director. I'm calling in to start the show as we are setting up in the lovely Somerset studios here, switching over to our new system. And I just want to first say Merry Christmas to everyone. I hope everyone has finished their Christmas shopping. Me, I still have some more shopping to do. Our lovely host, LaShawn Suber, will be coming on here briefly. I'm just filling in for her. Let's see. We have a special guest that will be speaking later on today, and I'm so excited. So if you guys can just bear with us just a few moments, we're going to get this show on the road. Speaking of Christmas gifts, guys, I don't know why I always wait minutes to do my shopping. I need to do better next year. I really do. Sean has wrapped a few gifts already. I've been looking under the tree here. In just a few more minutes, we're going to be live in the studio.
Hey, everybody. How's everybody doing? Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Yay. Can you hear me, Kathy, really well?
I can hear you very well. Much better.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to thank my wonderful program director, Brittany Thomas, for holding it down for a couple minutes. So thank you so much, Britt.
You're welcome.
So, Merry Christmas, and welcome to Superstar Radio with your host, LaShawn Suber. We're always broadcasting from the fabulous Sunset Studios. I'm so excited to be here. Again, Brittany Thomas Suber held it down. That is my daughter, my oldest daughter. So thank you. So she's going to gather her thoughts, and we're going to come back to her and get her take on everything. So how is everyone's week? What's going on? How are your weekend plans? Are we finished shopping? Like, what are we doing? This platform is for everybody. So if you have any questions, any concerns, please hit number one and we will bring you on the show. So let's get with it. So all you guys know, Superstar Entertainment, or should I say Superstar Entertainment LLC, we are we just did the doggone thing a couple weeks ago. So we're so excited about that. So we are a company now. So a real life company that's legit, have our numbers and everything. So congratulations to our company. And Superstar Entertainment LLC was founded by founder, CEO, producer, extraordinaire DJ, my husband, Jeff Suber, in 2000. So what we are trying to do, we have some big things in store for everybody, for us and everybody in 2018. And we manage two DJs, DJ Control, which is Jeff Suber Jr., DJ Breezy, the cutest DJ in the land, Brianna Suber, two talented vocalists. We have Jen and Twan. These are outstanding people who we have in their band. So look for all that in the future. So I'm happy to tell you guys that. And Britt, did you want to do the scripture of the week?
Sure, I will definitely do the scripture of the week. And it says, the enemy will try and limit your praying because he knows your praying will limit him. Please email your information to superstarenc@yahoo.com if you would like to know where that scripture came from. And I'm going to go ahead and say it again. It says, the enemy will try and limit your praying because he knows your prayer will limit him. So don't let the devil limit your praying, guys.
Thank you so much for that. And who gay was that?
And that scripture of the day was brought to you by our lovely, wonderful Helen Wade. Thank you, Grandma Boots.
So thank you, Mom, for that. So we have a special show in store for you guys. So this is actually our last show of the year. So have you had fun?
Yes, I have fun.
So this is our last show of the year, and we're going to take a vacation for the next 2 weeks. To have our Christmas and have our New Year and come back strong. We have a lot of great things in 2018, you guys. I can't stress that enough. I am so, so excited for 2018. But I'm also excited for our special guest tonight. So let me give you a little bit of information. Dr. Catherine Pickens is a licensed professional counselor with over 20 years of experience in several areas of counseling, including mental health, substance abuse, school counseling, and family services. Catherine earned her Bachelor of Interdisciplinary Studies and a Master of Arts in Counseling from Wayne State University. Dr. Pickens has a PhD in Human Services from Wayne State University. She also holds a certification in alcohol and drug addiction. Currently, Dr. Pickens works for the state of Alabama in the Mental Health and Substance Abuse Division. She recently worked as a Program Director of Human Services at the largest private college in Michigan, and she was a clinical director of her own private practice, Catherine Pickens Counseling Services. Her private practice specializes in helping her clients understand and apply therapeutic strategies to the behavioral practices that create a positive change. She has presented at conferences and conducted trainings in several sectors, including K-12 schools, community agencies, churches, and national organizations. Catherine is a wife and a mother of four adult children and a grandma, too. She enjoys spending time with her family and attending events. She belongs to the illustrious sorority of Sigma Gamma Rho Sorority, Incorporated. Her research interests include cultural diversity, competence, trauma-informed care, communication, and leadership. This person that I'm about to introduce, we've been friends way before the sorority. We were friends before. It just so happened we have the same interest in blue and gold. So I would like to introduce to you my sister, my friend, Dr. Catherine Pickens. So welcome.
Thank you so much, LaShawn. It is so crazy to hear that by you. I'm like, who is that?
I know. I am so super proud of you. Congratulations on getting your PhD and being Dr. Catherine Pickens. I always knew that you were destined for greatness. So how is everything going?
Well, things are well. I'm here in Alabama enjoying 76 degree weather today. How about that?
Okay. You're just gonna make us just jealous because you just left this weather.
Right?
Kathy and I spoke the other day, and the last time I saw you was when we had our roundup for the sorority, and I just knew you were gonna come back to Rho Sigma. And so when I talked to her the other day, and she said, okay, well, let me find some information. I'm going to unpack it. And I'm like, unpack it? And she said, oh, yeah. I said, did you move? And she said, yeah, to Alabama. And I'm on Alabama Street in Detroit because you did not leave me. And she's like, no, the state of Alabama. So I'm happy for you because I know that you're going to do great things. But I'm sad because you left. But it's okay, right?
It's okay. Yes, I will visit, and we can definitely Skype, and we certainly have opportunities to do professional networking together. So it will be great.
I also have to say, Kathy's daughter, Brittany, her oldest daughter, is a soror too. So she has a legacy in the family. That's always amazing to have that, right?
Yes,
so,
it is.
Mental health in the Black community. So let's talk about a little bit. Yeah, I know. You know, this has been swept under the rug for so long, and I know that you are an expert in mental health. So what's the stigma? What's the stigma of mental health? Because Black people, we don't talk about what we need to get for our own mental health.
Well, you know what? That's such a loaded question. It's so many different ways to approach that, LaShawn. I guess what I would say is the problem with us doing it or getting the help that we need is the stigma, right? And so stigma is just this negative perception that if I seek outside help from a professional, that means something's wrong with me, that I'm broken, right?
Right.
So that's what
right.
stigma is all about. And so nobody wants to be seen as the quote-unquote crazy person or quote-unquote broken person or the I'm not good enough that we can't fix this inside our home person. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So historically, as Black people, we have kind of been conditioned to believe and think that whatever we need to take care of, we need to take care of it inside our house, and nobody else outside of our house needs to know about it, because it brings, you know, that stigma of shame, that stigma of not living up to, you know, kind of to that space. And then it feels like somebody else is invading our space and telling us what it is we should be doing or not doing, you know. So I guess it just depends on which era you were brought up in. But
okay.
we don't want anybody to see our mess, right? We want to show, we want to kind of put our best foot forward the best way we can. The problem with that, though, is we implode from the inside out. And everybody can still see your mess anyway. It's stinky and it's ugly
right.
and it's not helpful. And then we train generations upon generations, you know, in succession to be the same way. So it just gets worse. And then you have this generational problem. It doesn't go away, right? And so I think that's just one aspect of what that stigma is all about. That keeps us as Black people rooted in not going to get the help, you know. And then some of us feel like, well, you know, we get our therapeutic help from church. We go to church. We don't go to therapy. I think I saw
yeah.
that quote somewhere yeah. on The Girlfriends, you know, that TV show.
Mm-hmm.
It was out some years ago. She was like, we don't go to therapy. We go to church. Well, guess what? There's broken people there, too. Right. And the person
yeah.
who's giving comfort and solace across the pulpit, his job is salvation, is to help us get our souls straight. Mental health, right, is not our
yeah.
soul. That's our head. And so that's not his area or her area of expertise. And so a lot of times their intentions, and when I say they, I mean the church folk, right, whether they're in the congregation, whether it's the church leadership, their intentions are good because it's what they know, right, but they don't have, they're not equipped with being able to help people from some other perspective. So they can only take a person so far. In most cases, they, you know, there's some people who really need that outside help. Now, they can do it in tandem together, but there's
mm-hmm.
some areas of expertise that the church leadership just doesn't know about, just like there's areas of expertise that the counselor knows about, but they can't do the same thing in the pulpit. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes
and
sense.
And so that's you know, you wouldn't send, you know, two smart people, well, both of them got degrees from the university, one in law and one in medicine. The lawyer can't do the doctor's job, and the doctor can't do the lawyer's job. And so as Black people, we forget that, right, because once again we're trying our best to fix things the way we feel like families fixed them before, but really they weren't fixed. They were just kind of swept under the rug.
That's interesting, because I don't remember, but long, long time ago, you know, you and I had this conversation the other day. They didn't know where to place African Americans in school. So they would put them in special ed because they
right.
didn't really
mm-hmm.
understand. And the parents didn't understand. And even backdated long time ago, probably right after slavery, because that's traumatic, right? That was traumatic.
Slavery,
no,
yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. And no one wanted to get the help. I personally think that we all need some mental checkups. And, you know, we have some mental health to some type of degree, you know,
mm-hmm.
whether it be
yep.
Racism, poverty, lack of information, going to war. It's a lot of things. You can be a wife and a mother and, you know, I said this on this show, you know, when I became a wife and a mother and I had two teenagers and I had a toddler and I was a wife and all this responsibility, I kind of lost myself. I think that was part of some mental health breakdown. I think we all through it, but we have to realize what it is and get the help and move on.
Right. Absolutely. You know, studies, research has shown that just like you can pass down genetically or biologically some
mm-hmm.
some issues like diabetes, for instance, in some areas, and that, you know, that's not the only way to have it, but, you know, or high blood pressure, hypertension,
mm-hmm.
you know, some studies
mm-hmm.
have linked biological connections, right, from past generations. So have studies linked psychological issues to past generations. They have also recently come out to say that there's some research that says that the effects of slavery are still being passed down generation to generation, that
exactly.
that trauma has not
huh?
been removed. And it
exactly.
takes so many generations for whatever goes in to come out. So, for instance, if, like, let's say me, right, I'm my generation, my family, myself personally, if I ended trauma from, let's say, slavery or any of those thoughts today, it would still impact the next several generations before it was totally eliminated, even if I never mentioned it again after today.
Wow.
That's how rooted our psychological, you know, situations are. So just like medically, biologically, things can go generation to generation. So like, just like if I had diabetes and I was able to get mine under control and get it corrected today, it still
mm-hmm.
would pass through several generations before there's no more generations down my line that have it.
Right.
If it had a biological component. So, you know, it's one of those things that we really, you know, just because we sweep it under the rug and don't talk about it, if things are still happening, those thoughts are still occurring, it's kind of ingrained, and we just continue to suppress it, but the behaviors come out somewhere. That it's going to happen. You can't
exactly.
keep that lid on.
Exactly. We have a caller on the line.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to bring her on the line. Let me see if I can bring her on the line. Caller, are you there?
Was that number 2062?
Yeah, I'm trying to bring her on the line. I'll continue to try to bring her on the line. I know that I watch Empire, and it is one of their sons, their oldest son, is suffering with bipolar, so he takes medication. So
yeah.
the last...
Mm-hmm.
Not the season finale, but before, this horrible doctor prescribed him some horrible medication, which made him have hallucinations. And he
mm-hmm.
made up this woman in his dream, right? But she was real
mm-hmm.
to him. This was reality. And
mm-hmm.
he wasn't liking what she was saying to him. So he thought he killed her. So the mom and dad comes over. And he's on the floor like, look at, she's right here. I killed her. I am a killer. I'm a killer. And the next scene is you see him on the floor choking someone, but there's no one there. And the look on his parents' face was like, oh, my gosh, my child. I actually cried after that episode because it was so powerful. Like, oh, my gosh, this is part of mental health, right? So
it is.
Have,
it is. Mm-hmm.
It's part of mental health. So I think I finally brought the caller on. So, caller, you're on. You have a question for Dr. Catherine Pickens.
Hi, Dr. Kathy.
Hi. How are you today?
I'm fine. This is Sean's mother. How are you doing?
I am phenomenal. Thank you.
That's great. I'm so glad to hear you. I haven't talked to you in a long time.
Yeah.
But my question, well, my statement is, like, I'm from the baby boomers. I'm one of the baby boomers. And
mm-hmm.
Then my parents before me, we didn't talk about that. We were afraid of what people would say. Or
mm-hmm.
in families, they would call you crazy.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
like you were saying, they just swept it under the rug. Oh, he's just crazy. Boy, go sit down. Girl, go sit down. And that was acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
But we knew something
right.
was wrong. Something deeper was going on, but we couldn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They didn't want the neighborhood or the family to know, the other part of the family, the cousins and aunts. They didn't want to let them know what was going on.
Right.
So they just said, oh, boy, go sit down. You crazy. And no one else said anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had so many problems, but they wouldn't recognize it or try to get help. Like you said, we just didn't think we needed it.
Yeah. Okay. Or that, you know, the children would outgrow it, or, you know, we will deal with it in a different way, or just not deal with it at all. We'll just turn a blind eye. And it's been so devastating to our families and our communities.
And it was so strange that you was talking about slavery. I was thinking either yesterday or this morning how we don't say enough. We don't talk enough. We don't put out there enough about how all of that slavery impacted us and how we feel today.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, oh, you wasn't in slavery. But, yes, we were as we go down the generation to generation.
Yes,
and we're
absolutely.
Still acting slave. A lot of us are still acting like we're in slavery.
Absolutely. Still very much bound. And that's a part of the challenge with a lot of the hatred and opposition. Is the anger and the pain that still has not been expressed or processed, maybe is a better word, processed, and given a space to be handled.
Yes, because
so
we got to think, why are all these young men so angry all the time? I don't think they know, but it comes from that. It stems from slavery.
It's a byproduct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's a byproduct.
Exactly. Well, thank you, Kathy, so much. I was so glad to hear from you. And I love you, and God bless you. And Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Same to you. I love you, too.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
So thank you so much, Mom. So, Kathy, like, how did you decide to go into the field that you are in? Like, what made you, like, what was your journey? What were your thought process?
Oh, man, honey. Okay, let's see. So I guess kind of in a nutshell, I started down the counseling path because I had a counselor who helped me when I was in high school, okay? And so she didn't help me necessarily, at least when I was thinking about it then, in terms of psychological counseling or counseling from that particular space. She was trying to help me with just going to college, right? I graduated from high school and going to college. But as I moved forward, so it was more career development, right? That was what her role was. But as I look back now, you know, knowing what I know and having experienced what I've experienced, she absolutely helped me psychologically and emotionally get through some really difficult times, okay? So at home, I wasn't brought up in, you know, the worst home. I had a pretty good childhood. And when I was a child, I didn't think I did, but I think most of us feel that way. But I didn't think I did, but there was nothing really going on wrong, save that I was kind of left to on my own for the most part. And so was the rest of my sibs. So if you interacted with all of us by ourselves, you would think we were all only children. That's how different we are. But we were all the same parents, same household. Okay.
Okay.
Different age spread. In high school, I'm a teenage mother. So I was pregnant. I carried my first child through my junior year of high school. Coming into high school, I was going to high school. I didn't want to go to, you know, it was one of those rebellious teenagers. But it was one of those things where I had a caretaker at home who was not very friendly with me because she had issues with my mother. So it didn't have anything to do with me. It had to do with my mother. But because I was really like my mother, right, personality, looks, blah, 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 then I kind of got the punishment, if you will, that should have been inflicted on my mother, so I received that. So myself and my little sister were really close in age, and we were kind of like night and day in what we experienced coming up for that reason, because she was more like that particular caretaker, and I was more like my mother. So, and we were treated as such. So that caused some anger and frustration in me as a young adolescent, all right? So my acting out phase started hitting right around beginning of high school, eighth grade, ninth grade, and so on. So this particular counselor was my high school counselor throughout my entire time, and I got into a really good school, not because I wanted to, once again, because I was four. So it was just rebelling against all of those things, and she helped me through that. She actually was my daughter's counselor as well, too, years later. So she was still there.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that crazy? And so so when I look back, I know. So she was like, well, you have the baby. You know, you need to choose a career that's going to help you be in work when she's working. I mean, when she's in school, and be out when she's out of school. So she was leading me into teaching. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And actually, I have done that over time as well. But I found that my passion was more in a place that was a more supportive role. Teachers are very supportive. I don't intend to say that they're not. I just felt like there were so many things that their hands were tied with that they couldn't do that I, as a counselor or therapist, could do. And so so that's kind of what led me down that path. So it started as a youngster, really piped up in high school, but I got on that path right after going away to college my first year as a result of that school counselor.
You have an incredible story. So mm-hmm. You and I met when you were at Wayne State. And
right.
I mm-hmm. remember Kathy has done so much, you guys. Kathy has actually you were accepted also to Wayne State's law school, I remember, correct?
That's correct. Actually, all the law schools in Michigan I was accepted to, and I took the seat at Wayne State.
Exactly. And so, mm-hmm. Counseling, so you decided to, what made you, I know you had your counseling services, and what made you, get your PhD?
What made me go from the law to counseling?
The law to counseling, and then you got your PhD recently in counseling.
Okay.
So, go ahead, because I have other questions, so go ahead.
Okay, right. Okay, that's a lot of questions, LaShawn. Okay, so when I was on my way to law school, so I'm going to try to make that really quick. So I was on my way to law school, accepted the seat just before school started, maybe about 3 weeks. I found out I was pregnant. This pregnancy, and, I was married and everything, so I had three little kids at home. I was working full-time, and this pregnancy was between my 21-year-old son and my 19-year-old son. And mm-hmm. so I had to make a decision. So law school, when you were going part-time, the first year they do over a two-year period. So what would have happened is if I had have gone the first part of that year and then set out for that one semester to have that baby, then I would have lost that year. I would have had to start over. And I'm not one who believes in, right, because there's no, you have to go through that cohort that first 2 years, and then you can go and take your classes outside the cohort when you were doing law school as a part-timer. That's the way it was set up then, right, at Wayne State. So I decided, okay, I'm going to pull out. So I gave up my seat about maybe 2 weeks before classes were due to start, and then I lost that pregnancy probably 2 or 3 days before classes were due to start. But, there's a waiting list for law school, so they gave that seat away while I was sitting in there giving it up. They were calling the next person on the list.
Oh, wow.
So I haven't looked back. There's been times when I thought, maybe I should go. I've even thought about that recently. maybe I should go in and pick up that space as well, and I'll tell you about that a little bit. Now, my PhD is actually in human services, and what human services is, it's a compilation of counseling, social work, psychology. So it's a generalist type of degree. So it's intended to help professionals go into the workforce understanding basic fundamentals from all those different paradigms. What's happening in our country, we know there's always a shortage of money. There's even a bigger shortage where it's mental health services and substance abuse services are concerned. Mm-hmm. So the person who has the ability to kind of float between those areas are going to have the best option. So that's what that human services degree is about. At the PhD level, is more macro. So we're talking about more administration, which is kind of what I'm doing, versus micro, one-on-one. I don't do a lot of one-on-one counseling anymore, you know, until I open up my private practice again or small groups. I don't see clients at all, but I help agencies find funding and get organized and understand new paradigms and techniques. So I help to train them on those things so that their therapists and helpers can do the best job they can do with the client.
Okay. With mental health, what are the warning signs?
Ooh, okay, so that can be kind of tricky as well, because everybody's different, right? It's just kind of like grieving. Everybody grieves in a different way. Mental health is the same thing. So it really depends on the diagnosis. But what I can say is, if you have, let's say children, let's do youngsters under 16 or 17, as young as 5 or 6, okay? They get stressed out too. 5-year-olds get stressed out. A lot of people don't buy into that. But when there's changes in the home, when there's changes in school, when there's anything that kind of upsets status quo, it can cause some concerns, right? It can cause a little extra stress. So what I kind of would look for is changes in behavior when you're talking about youngsters, right? So if they change friends, okay, if they are a little more angry or aggressive, or less angry and aggressive. If the personality does a weird swing, that could be a problem, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or something, or a warning sign. If the eating behaviors change, so if they're eating more or eating less, if they're sleeping more, sleeping less, right? If they're having trouble in school, grades are changing, if they're getting ill frequently, you know, more tummy aches than usual, even more colds or headaches than usual, those could be indicators that there's something amiss in their environment, that there's something wrong. That's how I look for youngsters. As when you start turning over that 17, 18 and going into late adolescent, young adult, the inability to hold a job, the inability to keep thoughts straight, fatalistic conversations, you know, or pessimistic conversations, you know, everything is bad, nobody understands, you know what I mean, where it kind of sounds like suicidal ideations. You know what, if I could just walk away from everything, I'll just start walking down the street and won't stop walking, or I'll just keep driving my car and won't turn it around. I'll just drive off into the sunset. So those are the kinds of, you know, flags you want to look for. Frequent absenteeism from work. And the same things with bodily illnesses, you know, back aches, stomach aches, achy joints, crying spells, over-emotional, under-emotional, flat affect. Not doing things with friends or colleagues that they used to do, you know, maybe being more seclusive. And, you know, I'm just not interested in that. Okay, so maybe I was on a bowling league and I went to church and I was in a church choir, but all of a sudden I'm not doing anything. And I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to see anybody. Those are flags that I would look for that says there's something amiss. Now, when we talk about mental health, it can range, LaShawn, from something as short-lived as a depressive bout or a bout of grief, to all the way through schizophrenia and beyond. So there's a big range in that. Do you know what I mean? So, I mean, some people could get explosively angry, you know, so they could have a psychotic break and they're running through the streets naked or, you know, or they believe they're the president or an alien is in their room. So those are not just warning flags. Those are call somebody quick. You know what I mean? You don't have 5 of those episodes before you call somebody. But if a person, you know, is having trouble sleeping or getting out of bed, you know, you want to kind of watch it. That doesn't mean you have to call the counselor right away. But maybe make an appointment to see the doctor, you know, just to rule out other things that could be happening, because it could be medical.
Right, because I know personally people that have bipolar who is not recognized. this. Oh, what's wrong with me? Oh, I'm okay. But then, you know, you read the sign about the bipolar, and it's like, oh my gosh, yeah, you have it. And it's, and I don't think, like we said before, it was a stigma. We were ashamed of it. You know, we just need to go get help and talk to somebody about it. And I think it's okay. You know, we all need help every now and then. We all need a mental health check sometimes.
Absolutely. And that's every single body. Every person could use a checkup.
Yes.
Even once a year, you go in for two or three sessions, just like you do for Well Baby, or when you go to the dentist twice a year. You know what I mean? It's the same thing.
Exactly. But you know what? We have trouble, you know, recognizing the signs and the symptoms. We don't face it, and you know something's wrong, because why is that uncle up in the attic? Who is he? What's wrong with him? And people act like, oh, don't even worry about it, because Uncle James is okay. No, Uncle James is not okay. Something is going on, and that's made up of DNA, you know. I'm a firm believer in DNA. When I say that, I mean, you know, last week we had a great show about, you know, the dating app. One of the questions in the dating app is, you know, some things hereditary. Do you have mental illness in your family? Because that can go down to your kids, possibly, if you have kids with that person. So you have to really be careful and ask those questions about mental health, because it's there.
That's right. And, you know, I'd like to also, LaShawn, I don't mean to cut you off, but while I'm thinking about it, I would venture to say that more people do recognize the signs. I think they choose not to follow the warning signs.
Exactly.
So they know they're there. They can see that, you know, you can't miss what you're looking at. They don't miss it. They downplay it.
How do people get help, Kathy? Like, you know, How do they get help if they have mental illness? How do a family member get help for a family member?
Okay, so it depends on what they see happening. If their person pulls off all their clothes and spins in the floor, then they need to call 911. Okay? That's a really big emergency. If the person is just kind of a little sad, well, first you have to think about what's happening. You know, so did someone recently pass away?
Okay.
Did they lose somebody special to them, right? Loss doesn't mean death either. Loss means loss. Was there a divorce? Was there a best friend that moved across town and now the kid can't get to see him because, you know, I can't go as a kid. I'm 8. I have to wait on somebody to take me, and nobody will take me, you know, an hour drive to see my friend. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you want to consider what situations have recently occurred in that person's life. Okay, so that's the first thing, because that'll help you understand if what they're experiencing is normal or abnormal. So it might be normal to be a little lethargic and lay in a bed and be a little sad for a few days. That might be normal, depending on what's happening. You know, it might be normal for somebody to take off all their clothes and lay on the floor because it feels cool, because they have a biological issue and not a psychological issue.
Okay.
So what they need to do is see a medical doctor. You understand what I'm saying? The first place I would send a person, if they're exhibiting signs that could be have a medical foundation, is to the doctor. So if I'm experiencing a lot of back pain or tummy aches or my eyes hurt or migraines, I would send them to the medical doctor first. That's what I would do. So I make an appointment just to see the general practitioner and get a checkup.
Right.
So then they'll tell you, okay, there is nothing we can find that's causing any of these symptoms. So now you need to go to the head doctor. Does that make sense? Now, if a person is seeing extra people, or they're talking to and doing some different things, or they're taking medications that don't, you know, don't belong to them, then they need to probably start at the head doctor. But that doesn't mean they don't need to see the medical doctor, because sometimes there's some chemical imbalances that could occur that if you, just like when some kids eat sugar, their behavior changes.
Right.
There's some things that if different people eat, it causes different reactions because there are chemical changes in their body. And it could look like something else, when in fact it's a medical issue, but it could look like a psychological issue.
Well,
so
I know
a medical doctor always needs to be in there.
I know. I had an uncle and he passed away. And as a kid, you know, I heard stories that he was labeled as he was bad and, you know, he was just crazy. And, you know, and I really think that my uncle had like ADHD because he was so hyper, very, very smart, very, very intelligent. But
mm-hmm.
he had ADHD or ADD, but it wasn't those type of diagnosis was not given to African Americans. We were just labeled as crazy, but our counterparts, they knew that. Oh, little Jimmy have ADHD, Sally has ADD. When we have those same symptoms, but we look at it as, oh, he's like my mom said earlier, like he's crazy. I just think my uncle had ADD. He was very hyper, and his brain, to me, was always on. Like, he couldn't shut mm-hmm. off sometimes. And it's just,
you know what?
He didn't get diagnosed for that. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
he wasn't diagnosed.
It is. It is. And but now there's other things that sometimes mimic ADHD that are not ADHD,
mm-hmm.
like anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Anxiety. So there's some people whose minds don't shut off, and they're boop, 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 back and forth, back and forth. They're A-type personalities, always busy, got to do this, got to be involved in that, can't keep kind of thoughts straight or organized, interested in a lot of things. Anxiety will do that.
Exactly.
And there
exactly.
are medications for anxiety. Mm-hmm.
But
you see what I'm saying?
Let me ask you this, and I know some people that, I know, you know, some people that you just described, and let's talk a little bit about medication. The people mm-hmm. don't want to take the medication.
I know, and that's the thing. That's why I say they know. People know. It's not that we're missing the signs, I would say. You know, maybe in the really little ones, that we might be missing the signs, or if they're just a hair's breadth below where they should be, then we might think, okay, they're just going through something right now. They'll grow out of that, right? Or if it's a boy, because, you know, we just say boys, okay, that's just him being a boy. That is
mm-hmm.
such a misnomer. But it's the, oh, I don't even understand how to explain that one. But it happens a lot. So we want to make sure that we're kind of, we see the sign. What we want to do is do the right thing when they come up. And that's when you see something, and it's been there for a little bit, you've ruled out whether it's like a grief issue or a situational issue that's just temporary because of a move or something else. And then, and maybe you might think it's temporary, but it's turned out to be a little bit more long term, then that's the time to go and see somebody. Could you look, you can turn on your insurance card, turn it over. There's phone numbers where you can call your insurance provider and tell them you're looking for a behavioral health specialist, and those could be counselors or social workers or psychiatrists, you know, whatever is needed.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll give you references that way. Sometimes you can go to your employer, and they'll give you references with their EAP, Employee
mm-hmm.
Assistance Program. Those are for the employee and their family members, right? So you can do it that way sometimes. If your person that you're trying to care for is in school, K through 12, school counselors have resources that you can utilize. And if they're in school higher than that, you know, higher education, there's also counseling offices available there. So even if you, you know, so like if you don't want to sometimes, okay, I don't want to go to the doctor and say I'm going to see a, you know, a therapist. So
mm-hmm.
go to the school counselor. How about that? You can start there. And they'll help you walk through those different steps. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So,
we have
you know, we just have to do it. Go ahead.
Right. And I have a question. This is Brittany. And I love everything that you're saying. I'm actually getting a lot of good information. Now, do you think a person that is easily angered or easily quick to go from 0 to 10, sort of say, and always has a high temper, do you think that's someone that should be seeking a therapist?
Depends on what the motivation is. What's causing the 0 to 10 jump? Is it something very specific? You know, we all have a detonator button, right? And there's
mm-hmm.
sometimes that one thing that when you press that button, I'm going off. I don't care who's there, what's happening. if they're going from 0 to 100 because that very same button is pressed, then what we have to figure out is why that button is so sensitive. That might not take a therapist. And then it might. It just all depends. Now, if they're 0 to 100, no matter what is happening, so if they wake up and, you know, the rainbow is out, it's a beautiful sunny day, and they're 0 to 100 just because it didn't rain, then could be. Maybe there are some things that are going on with that person that they could have some anger issues. Maybe there are some anxiety issues or some depression. Or there could be a biological issue. There could be some pain somewhere or some confusion in the space that's causing them to feel like that's the only way they can express how they're feeling. So I want to be careful to say just because a person is exhibiting a lot of anger doesn't necessarily mean they have an anger issue. What really needs to be found out is what's causing it. Is it possible to do that at home? It's possible. It just depends on if the person is amenable to talking about it. If they're not, then they do need to see someone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for that.
Yep.
Wow, that's a good thing because – you know, my mother is a social worker, Kathy. You know that. And she used to say, you know, things happen in our childhood, we bring to our adult life. And for the life of me, a time ago, you know, as a young person, I really didn't understand that. But I really understand it really clearly now because of some things that, you know, prime example, when I was growing up, my dad, we would be out, all five of us would be out in the open with my mom and dad at like a mall or something or a store. And for him to call us, he wouldn't yell like, "Hey, Shawnee," or "Hey," he would whistle. And we would come running, right? And that always kind of bothered me. So years and years and years later, I'm out with Jeff. We're in the store and he whistles. And I went up to him.
That was a trigger.
Don't you ever whistle for me as long as you are black. Because to me, it was like the Doberman gang. Remember that movie a long time ago?
Yeah.
And the master whistle for them dogs that attack those people. It's an actual movie about that. And so it was just real interesting, you know, that happens like that. So, you know, so that was
it's a trigger.
Exactly.
And he was probably like, "What happened, right? What in the world?
God,
this is not what I meant." But
I was ready to hurt him because I'm going like, "Really? You can whistle?" But he didn't know that my dad whistled, and it was the same type of whistle, you know. So
so that was the thing. That was the detonator. He pressed it.
Like, don't you ever do that again? That's not cool, you know. That's not cool at all. But, yeah, we really have to own up to our mental healthness. And I think that, you know, if anybody out there has some type of issues or, you know, some type of, you know, it may not be, you know, as serious or anything that they think. Because right now this is a hard life that we're living. It's a lot going on in the world.
And we weren't intended to live like we live. We just weren't. That's a whole other subject. You know, you had to catch me on theology and spiritual session. Call me back for that one. I'll do that one too.
Because I
don't know if your listeners probably don't know. I'm also an ordained minister. I didn't put it in the bio. I didn't put it in that bio. I forgot that was a bio I sent somewhere else. That was I didn't put it in that space. We're not intended. The life we're living today is not even the way it's supposed to be, and that's another part of the psychological breakdown.
Exactly.
We're not
exactly
supposed to handle the stuff that's coming through our heads right now.
Exactly. We got this crazy president that we have and all his issues, and we got sex trafficking. You know, I'm so afraid of that, you know, with my children and, you know, so it's just so much going on in the world, and sometimes we all need to talk to somebody quiet as kept.
That's right. And, you know, just to deal with day-to-day life issues, once you can get people think, okay, only if I'm on that spectrum where it's really bad, right? then I go see a therapist. No, you know what? Maybe your job switched. Not that you necessarily lost it. Maybe you just went from one department to another department. And it's different. And the people are different. And I'm just having trouble making, you know, the adjustment. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It happens. Mm-hmm. It happens. My kids, all of them are grown and they're all moved away. Now who am I? Now what do I do? It's an adjustment period.
Yes.
It's, you know, and sometimes people need a little help with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I am so glad that we are actually talking about mental health, because I believe that it's so important. And our sorority, Sigma Gamma Rho Sorority Incorporated, is really trying to, I wouldn't say jump on the bandwagon, but bring an awareness to mental health now with some of their the awareness and different things that we want to do within the sorority to bring mental health. And then we wanted to make sure that it's no longer a stigma. You know, you shouldn't be ashamed. Own it and get some help about it, and it can make you a better person. Take the medicine, you know, do some research on it. See if it was in your family before, you know, talk to some family members. That's something that, you know, we don't do. I know my grandmother had, you know, heart concerns, but she didn't want to burden her children and grandchildren, so that was never a conversation when I had heart issues, and I didn't know where I got that from. So we need to have conversations like that about our mental health and see what's going on. You know, that's hereditary.
That's right.
You know, your mom, your grandmother, your great-grandmother, your dad, your grandmother on your other side. So we need to have those hard conversations, and it's only to help other people and help us understand it and recognize and what we should be doing and what's the next step that we need to do. And I'm glad that you were able to give us a lot of resources on where to go and where to start, because a lot of us do have EAP and that type of thing, and on the back of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield card, you know, you may get 20 visits a year or something like that. Go talk to
somebody.
That's
right. Well, right now, until they change the health codes, it's unlimited.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. So until those things change, but right now it's unlimited. And so, and people just want to remember that when you go to see a therapist, it's not always medication connected. It just really depends on what's happening. And the medication is designed to help. There's different kinds, and they'll work with the person to make sure that they get it moderated so that it helps them as opposed to hinders them, right? So there's so many different treatment modalities that are possible to assist the person in just getting to their next best life, and that's really what the goal is. So just like you'll think, I can't see, I need to go to the eye doctor, I'm having trouble hearing, I go to the hearing doctor, I have heart trouble, I go to the heart doctor. If you have head trouble, then you go to the head doctor.
Exactly.
It's as simple as that.
You know, I'm glad that we have the platform to bring awareness to this. And we hope that this, you know, helps someone. And then when you talk to me, when you talk to a therapist, it's an unbiased person rather than talking to your BFF, because they're too close, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Talk to someone that's non-judgmental and biased, and girl, you shouldn't do this. And no, just, you don't know me. So just tell me what I need to do based on what I'm expressing to you. So I think it's wonderful that sort of thing is happening. We need to talk about it. So this conversation is just beginning, though, Kathy, because it's
wonderful.
The iceberg of this conversation. But I am so, so proud of you. Thank you so much for being a part of our show again, because you were a
guest five years ago. Why do you remember? I hadn't even thought about the PhD program. Do you remember? I was thinking about that on my drive home today. I said, I remember last time we were talking, we said, you know, maybe you'll get that PhD.
Exactly.
And I was like, I'm not even thinking about school. Do you remember that?
Yes, exactly. And here
that
you
so
are,
funny.
Just at the top of your game, and I'm super proud. I know you're in Alabama, and I'm sad and happy at the same time. But we're going to be friends. Forever.
Yes.
So we are so proud of
forever
you.
Forever and a day.
And forever and a day, exactly, because we were friends before SG Rose. That's a good thing.
But yeah, so look out for more things for Superstar Entertainment. Jeff and I are so excited about our company that we have and what we're doing with the entertainment and just up and get things up and running and everything. So I'm really super, super busy. Plus, I'm so involved in Rho Sigma as well. Try to do a lot I can't do everything. I'm glad we got a big enough chapter where we can kind of spread some things out so we can't do everything. So do you have any last-minute words? We got like 4 minutes left in the show.
Well, you know, once again, I think if the listeners can take anything away from the conversation today, is to just be aware. And when your body and mind are telling you things are not quite right, just once again, like if you got a toothache, if you got a backache, you listen to those things and you go to see the doctor. If your heart is heavy or if your mind is tight or you're not feeling quite yourself, then make that appointment and go ahead and make a connection with a therapist or with a counselor. And you'll be surprised at how much better you feel after you just have an opportunity to share your thoughts with the neutral, unbiased party who can just kind of help you figure out what's your next steps. The goal is really to get to from wherever you are to your next best space, and that's what the therapist is there to help you do. They are a tool in a toolbox to be used to help you build up who you are, not take it, tear it down. So that's what we want to remember. And it's okay. Therapists exist for people as young as 2 or 3, believe it or not, all the way up until just before you can't take in your last breath. So you're never too young or never too old.
Good. Thank you so much. And again, this is our last show in 2017. This has been great. We started back up with Superstar Radio back in September, so we're going to keep it strong. So we're going to take a break for a couple of weeks. So Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Our show will reconvene on January the 10th, and that's kind of our breakout month because we have another guest on, which is Superstar Entertainment CEO Jeff Suber, and he's going to tell you what's going to be dropping because he's so excited for next month, dropping his first single on our entertainment business on his birthday. So we're excited about that.
His birthday is on the 10th of January.
Actually, it's 13th of January. It's January 13th.
I'm 11. I'm January 11th. So that tells me it's going to be great already. Remember?
Thank you. And as always, if anyone is listening and they feel that they want to be a guest on my show, please give me a call. Our corporate number is 248-506-1272. Or if you have any that you would like to discuss, please email or call. If you want to call in, information is 646-564-9995. You can reach us on our email address, which is superstar1@yahoo.com. And just be on the lookout for everything great. We got Breezy, we got Out of Control, we got Jan and Twan, and we got a lot of things coming together next year. So I want to thank my guest, Dr. Catherine Pickens, my soul. I love you. Thank you so much for my mom to call in. Thank you for my mom to call in. Yes, call in. And all the listeners that have called in to learn a little bit. So, again, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And, Kathy, I love you. You're going to do great things in Alabama.
Thank you. I'll keep in touch. Thank you. You too.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Bye-bye. Merry Christmas. Talk to you. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed another exciting episode of Superstar Radio with your host, LaShawn Suber. Please tune in each and every Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. for more great topics and exciting guests. The number, 646-564-9995. For information for Superstar Entertainment or LaShawn Suber, please call us directly at 248-506-1272 or email us at superstarent@yahoo.com.
Superstar Production.
look, I'm not